Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, do we do this again?
Oh, no.
Welcome to We Say Wednesday,
Canada's
Kid.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
You're going to have to just come up over that music because it's a special night.
Woo!
Belstar's birthday bash.
Happy birthday, Belstar.
Thanks, Kid. We'll turn it down for a second. How goes it?
It's
crazy in here.
Yeah.
People running in and out.
Yeah.
Giant chocolate cake, balloons.
People are running in here right now because they realize
they're
Alice
in Wonderland, like pipes floating around. What were you just saying earlier?
Oh, I was just saying people are running in here because they didn't know it was this time that it was starting.
Welcome.
To celebrate Belle's birthday.
Welcome to Weezday Wednesday, Mary Jane.
Happy birthday, Belle.
Thank you. We've got more people floating in here. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Weezday Wednesday. I don't even know where our routine is or
welcome
nothing.
Welcome to Weezday Wednesday.
Do it up. Welcome.
Tucson's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. We have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news, and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson and Arizona at large.
And Arizona at large?
And the world at large.
And the world at large. You can call, email, or blog your questions to tell Belstar happy birthday. Call in. I dare you all.
Woo!
646-915-8421. Belstar is waiting anxiously for some folks
birthday
on the West Coast. Some besties of the Westies. They better be calling in. We'd like to thank some Tumbleweed. It's a new health center opening up now. Tumbleweed Health Center for hosting this crazy special show tonight, along with certification.
You will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. You can also visit Tumbleweed's website at www.tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
It's just a wild night. Energy is just soaring.
Is it a full moon?
No. It is in here.
It is. Put your clothes back on.
All our moons are full. What's that? Can I say that? Do you have full moon? Woo! All right. Thank you for tuning in. Belstar's birthday bash. I'm young today, younger than I was yesterday. I think that how it goes backwards when you get to a certain point, right? Absolutely. I think Belle got a really cool gift today. 1974 edition of High Times magazine.
Wow.
How cool is that? And then one of the topics is hemp paper reconsidered.
Hmm.
In 1974, people. That was
not too far away.
A little bit ago. And it's marijuana, the wonder drug. A lady dealer talk. We might read some snippets from a lady dealer.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that. And market quotations. We'll see what's going on in the market in 74 versus what's going on in the market now.
I just want to explain to the crowd out there listening that it's a very interesting
cover.
Yeah. Usually High Times is, we're just going to explain it just a little bit of like how we do empathy.
Yeah, I like it.
Very plain. This is not a big picture of someone growing their stuff thin. It's actually got a lady in a very cute little sun hat, and with her fingers, she's holding a magic mushroom, and she's about to put it in her mouth. So her face is—it's fuzzy and pixelated.
Pretty.
But the magazine is really cool. It kind of almost reminds me of Highlights, that kids magazine.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's very simple.
It does.
But the photography is pretty cool. I mean, it's right to the point.
It is.
That was on their mind.
You think that the lady on the front is the lady dealer?
Hey, you've got to definitely sample your own medication. So that's what she might be doing.
With all the sleuthing we've been doing these days, you know, I think I put that together. Lady dealer on the cover. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But
well,
very
nice show.
Very nice present.
It's a fun one. This is a beautiful gift. I barely want to touch it, but we'll pass around for those folks to see. But
be careful with that one right there.
Yeah, careful. It's an Antiques Roadshow item. Are they coming? Back to tonight's show. We're going to sit around our cozy little campfire here. Where's our crackling campfire noises? Don't we have a campfire on our phone somewhere? I know we do. I'm pretty sure I do, actually. Do I sit on there? Anyway, we're going to sit around this little cozy campfire of ours and tell our original cannabis story of how we came to be cannabis users. Oh my goodness, that's quite an ad. I'm getting shown an ad for Job, the rolling papers, and there's it's a man, he's, you know, condemning this young kid. He says, get a job. We have a job for you. Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh,
good one. Good nice. One, Job. Yeah. So we're going to sit around and tell our cozy little stories. And I get to do, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. See how Belle feels on her birthday. Might pass around this Alice in Wonderland kind of pipe here and tell some stories. Anybody want to go first? What do we got here?
Know.
Oh, my goodness. I know. Holy Toledo. There's some tantric yoga in the 1974 edition. Made cannabis kid turn around.
Wow.
Mary Jane. We have a patient named Mary Jane here. We'll just call her that anyway. She's gladly volunteered to tell her. Yeah, what do you just don't even know what you volunteered for, do you? Oh, my gosh. No clue. No idea. Cannabis kid left the room. Mary Jane volunteered for something she doesn't know about. And, maybe I'll start it off while we're waiting for people to call in. So all in high school, I did not use the marijuana. In fact, I was pretty much against it. I thought that it was, you know, like the media said, and this was back in 85 or whatever. I had some friends using it. I just thought it was a drug. I didn't know any different. I didn't know any better. And we had some challenges in our family with addiction, so I thought everything was the same. So I was not really into it, and a couple of my best friends at the time used it, and it was good for them, and they always asked me if I wanted to try it, and I just said no, and, you know, just they never pressured me or anything, and one day I was about 20, it was right before my 21st birthday, and I guess I, you know, had enough time in life to think about just why maybe I didn't want to, and then why maybe I did. And so one day we're getting ready to go to this Denny's-like restaurant. It's called Mayans back then. This was on the West Coast in Cali. And so we go. Hold on. Can you turn your ear pods down a little bit, please? I can hear them. Thanks. I get the echo. Oh, there you go. So we go to this restaurant, and we're sitting outside, and I say, okay, let's do it. And they look at me like, let's do what? And I said, well, let's do that stuff. And they're like, what stuff? And they had no idea what I was talking about because for I don't know how many years, they kept asking me, you know, you want to try this? You want to try this? And they just gave up. And so I said, okay. And so they whipped out their little pipe and their little stash. And I think it was probably pretty good stuff back then, knowing them, because they had, you know, good friends and good connections up north in California. And I think I didn't ever try that swag stuff until I tried to get it on my own. But so we did this, and I took a couple hits probably, and I said, you guys have, you know, they were saying, are you hungry? Are you giggly? Are you anything? Do you feel anything? And I was like, no, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. This is that. Let's just go inside and see what happens. I had no idea what's going on. So we get inside, and all of a sudden it was like almost like an Alice in Wonderland thing. Everything was happy and silly. Oh, speaking of snacks, someone brought some birthday snacks. It was happy, silly. And look at that. Woo-hoo. And I ate everything in sight. I ordered the biggest. They had this thing called the cookie cone bowl. And it was a giant waffle cone bowl with ice cream in it. Like, we're talking like probably like 10 scoops of ice cream. Okay, maybe 5. It was huge. And so I think they ordered some zucchini sticks and some cheese sticks and probably some, I don't know, chicken wings. Back. I ate everything back then. And I think I ate the whole table and went for the menu. I was like, I have no idea why you guys get those munchy things. And all of a sudden, I ate it all. And that was it. And then my favorite thing after that was drumsticks. And it was a very psychedelic experience for me at first.
Do you remember the string that you did?
No, I didn't. No, and I don't even know if they know.
Right.
But I didn't. So using it then was very recreational. Very recreational.
Yeah. It was all about the high and what you would get from it.
It wasn't just that.
The fun times you would have.
The altered feeling. And it wasn't an everyday thing. It was, you know, once in a while with my friends. And
very social.
Yeah. Very social, very fun. We'd sit in the car in the rain and listen to Led Zeppelin and sing real loud and make them sing to Stevie or Fleetwood Mac or whatever, and we'd all have fun and giggle and, you know, and drive around and look at the Christmas lights and, you know, what you do when you're stoned and bored in a small town.
Right.
And then later, I realized for me, it was very helpful with pain when I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and other things. It was very helpful with pain, and it's also very helpful with my blood sugar and metabolism. I'm very thin as it is, but I know that if I don't use cannabis, I lose a lot of weight really quickly. It's very interesting. I'm not sure exactly what that's all about. Maybe the nurses are going, out there. But I don't know. It's a very interesting thing with my metabolism. It goes through the roof if I don't use cannabis. Very interesting. But it's good for, you know, anxiety, stress, you know, a lot of pain. And for sleeping, because I have a very active imagination and I dream a lot. So when I eat edibles, it helps me sleep. I get to a stage of REM that I don't get to if I don't use them. So I'm usually awake dreaming CSI-like movies all night long if I'm not eating a particular brownie or six. So it was, you know, it was really interesting. I think I just consciously came upon, you know, maybe my body needing it, my mind, my spirit, all of it needing it at a certain time, because I didn't want to try it until I wanted to try it. There was no pressure to do it. It was just something I wanted to do, so I did. And now, here we are.
Here we are.
Around the warm, cozy, crackling can of fire. I know I have that app on here. Kid, do you want to tell your story?
Yeah.
There's so many more. I mean, but we'll go. We'll do a little runaround and see what goes.
I remember.
We'll find our campfire.
Back when I was, it would have been have to be, I was 15, and we lived in a mobile home park. And I remember my friend coming over that we used to live with over in the old neighborhood, came over to visit and brought some pot. And me and her and my little brother went to the kids' park, which they used to call it because it had the baby swings. It wasn't the big kids' park, where it had the, you know, jungle gym and things like that. And we went ahead and smoked. I think we had a tin, old can.
It poked holes in.
Or I think it was either the tin foil.
Oh.
Rolled up. Something simple in the paint.
Toilet paper roll,
I never tried.
Oh.
But I thought that was you just blew out.
Plug up on
both sides.
Poke a hole in the top.
Mm-hmm.
The foil acts as your screen, kind of. You don't have a screen.
Why don't you use to plug up the end, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Then kind of like a roller, what are those called? Those one hitters?
Now they actually make.
Yeah, they make those.
The
things.
Toilet paper roll into this really beautiful piece of art. Now, work of art. It's like blown glass and.
Yeah.
So if you miss, if you don't like using that,
hey, we can get
paper,
you a toilet paper roll cheap here at Tumbleweed.
Yeah. What are you
we'll
doing?
Make you one right
550?
Up. Yeah, easy.
550?
Oh, yeah.
We'll even still leave a little bit of toilet paper on it.
Yeah. Take it home. It's useful. Anyway.
Well, sorry.
Diversion.
So we spoke. Then we decided, because it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Well, the buses didn't stop running until like 10. Or 11, depending. I think on the weekends it was at a certain time. SunTrend went a lot later and a lot of different routes. So we hopped on the bus and we cruised across downtown Tucson to the east side. So we lived on the south side of town. We took the bus all the way over to the east side of town.
What for? Just because you got on and
well,
went
you know,
and started driving.
It was such a...
Why would you go to the east side?
You know, as a young kid, I think doing cannabis, it does lower your inhibitions to do things.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you to go think outside of the box and think that you want to go
outside
do...
outside the bus.
Yeah, outside the bus or outside your little circle that you've been in for so long. And, you know, take a chance. We were 15. I think we could handle ourselves.
All right.
I mean, we weren't getting crazy. Who's that 11 o'clock?
Good for you for not driving.
So not driving. Yeah, we didn't steal anyone's car.
So that was good. We did think ahead.
That's good.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's good.
So finally got over to the east side. Thank God the friend that we went to go visit over on the east side had a car that could bring us back. So
your bus
we
ran
were
out.
Back home in bed by, I think, 2 o'clock in the morning. And the next morning we woke up and it was, like you said, a very fun experience with friends. It was a social thing. It was, you know, going around and, you know, just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And not thinking about solely on what was going to be the outcome of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like you do anything, you do it with love and
presence and
presence
being in the
and,
moment.
Yeah, and you're just like, well, we're, yeah. No one stole a car. Like, I mean, sometimes people are on alcohol. They need to go steal a car. You know, that are some people.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? They could be on anything.
Well, we're glad you didn't steal anything. I'm really glad you didn't cop for not stealing anything.
We made it home and we were okay.
All right. Were you a daily user after that? Was it something fun enough you wanted to use every
day? Something
or?
Fun enough to use once in a while.
And when was this again? Last week?
This was not last week. 15. So I actually got my card in February of 2012. But started looking into what this whole thing was about 2 years ago when it actually there was getting media talked about and where it was, I could hear friends talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it being really interesting kind of subject with our rights as human beings and what we should be able to use and what should we be able to not to use. And who says that,
yeah.
who says that,
what's, okay,
what,
for your
what's
body.
Okay for me.
Right.
So, and just like anything, I hopped on board with that because I think the stigma around medical cannabis or marijuana, which I really made a conscious decision not to use marijuana anymore because it is a, I think it's derogatory. I think where we need to go with it is a little bit more with medical cannabis because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're trying to change the stigma of it, then let's go with a positive stigma word, a one that hasn't been run through the dirt in
mm-hmm.
the media where people are constantly thinking of it when, as soon as they hear it
right,
as a bad,
a bad
word.
Thing. Right. Very good.
So I think like reverting it. Back to saying what it actually is, the plant itself, medical cannabis, instead of saying medical marijuana certificate, I don't think we should have a medical marijuana license. I think it should be a medical cannabis license if that's what we're going to go with.
So let me ask you this, that 15, a friend had it?
Yes, a friend had it.
Okay, so because my friends had it, I didn't have it.
I didn't have it, but
so,
we could have definitely gotten it.
Okay, so that was my question. So after that, after you have this experience, and it's fun and you want to do it again, how did you go about getting it? Your friends again, or did you venture out on your own?
Well, actually, you just started. You almost were attuned to it. You just kind of, if you heard or smelled, you know, you've learned. You first of all, you've passed it around. You've smelled it. You do enjoy what it is and know that it is natural.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like you're attuned to when you're around other friends. If you barely catch a whiff on them, you go, hey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How you can share that, you know, or whatever. Don't hide it, divide it.
Bogart.
Yeah. So, yeah, the don't hide it, divide it came around quite a lot. So
that was good.
So, but as a medical cannabis user now, and knowing what it was then and how it's definitely transformed, is so many people do the research on what they're doing.
They do.
The research on this is probably. There's probably more research done on medical cannabis and the strains and what they do and personal stories that people can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a Kinsey project. I mean, that would be pretty awesome that, you know, just everyone, all the dispensaries started tracking the information of the clients if they were willing to talk about it.
Sure, absolutely.
But I think it could be done. How many people go home and read their, like I say this all the time.
Yeah, read their prescriptions.
They read their prescriptions. No, they get their little their elevator speech right there at the pharmacy.
And you can even sign it without seeing the pharmacist themselves. You can wave that. Like, really?
Yeah. It
kind of scary.
And, you know, hearing all the commercials these days that, I mean, you take one thing for lowering
lowering your blood pressure or something like that may cause dizziness, stomach irritation. I mean,
internal bleeding.
Kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, maybe right. I will live with the high blood pressure instead of taking this.
Yeah, other things that's going
to
give me.
All these other things that then you need to go get medication for.
Right.
So, it's just, I think now as medical cannabis, it's been a more researched plant, and
mm-hmm.
with the strains that's gone along with it, people are looking for, there's certain things that make them happy that they enjoy on a regular basis. We got more guests coming.
I know. Party time.
It's never going to stop.
No. Birthday bag.
So I think with all of that, I think it's going in the right direction, and I think us pulling the stigma out of it and making it not so big deal. My parents know that I use cannabis, and I even push it on them. So.
You push your parents?
Oh, yeah.
You're a pusher?
I'm a pusher.
And here comes background. Boom, boom, the pusher man.
I want to show, I'm going to show them the Shagrama smoke pot when we go over there tonight for Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. We've got some more party patients coming in here tonight.
So that really, winds
it
up from here to there.
Saying medical cannabis then for you is helping to promote a positive.
I'm destigmatizing it. I'm like, this is who I am. I use it. I thought what Tumbleweeds did two weekends ago,
mm-hmm.
And actually having it out in front and having their friends and volunteers bring
the
vendors and really destigmatizing it that way, that these are real people. They're just using the medication like anyone else should.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think
it was a great community that
showing
came out.
That there was that many people out there and destigmatizing it the way you did was pretty awesome.
Thank you. It was awesome, and the community really liked it. It was a pretty cool event. AZ MedTest was there. Stealth was there. Vapor Smoke. All sorts of vendors were there.
Plants.
Yeah. Artists. Local artists were out there. It was a really, really great day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good cannabis canna story. You're coming out of your canna story. Yeah, your cannabis story. Does anybody else want to volunteer their first-time cannabis use story? As a patient, you're completely anonymous. That's what we're doing for Belle's birthday, you know. We're all telling our story. We just made some...
I think Miss Nappy over there.
Wow, look at that. I think you're right. I think so. Let's just turn her microphone way up. All right. Mary Jane, thank you. That was nice. So
one green and one pink.
I know. Thank you. Half and half.
Uh-huh.
Scary. Combination. My dad would say blame it on the Greeks, and my mom would say blame it on the Spanish. Blame it on whoever you want. All right, who's telling their story over there? Anyone? First timers, come on, someone that has to remember this story.
All right, I would have to say that I was very much against any type of cannabis drug for a long time. I'm the youngest of all the children, three older brothers, and I was a goody two-shoes. And there was a time when the folks were out of town, and I was probably 9 or 10, and I smelled it, and I was crying. Oh, my God, you know, you're going to be taken away. It's against the law and all these horrible things, and it was, you know, kind of mind your own business, brat. And then when I graduated from 8th grade, the brothers closest to me in age said, you know what? You're going to get exposed to this when you're in high school. So you need to make sure your first time you're not paranoid and freaking out.
Good big brothers. Good brothers, big or little. Good brothers.
Yeah.
Any brothers out there listening? Good brothers.
San Diego, California. So it's a million.
Oh, nice.
And I'll tell you,
I like that word.
I remember afterwards after smoking a joint on the beach. And then we were to ride bikes on the boardwalk, and it was this complete loss of sense of time and speed and how fast I was going. It was
that's a great place.
And at that point, I was like, wow, this is not so bad after all.
Took you a little while, though, but that's okay.
It did.
Yeah. On the boardwalk, that's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then what after that? Was it daily, weekly, or something you just think about? What?
I would say probably
hourly.
In high school, it was maybe a weekend thing.
A weekend thing.
I was still kind of goody two shoes on the outside.
And that made you ungoody two shoes?
Well, I came in with the party crowd, and they would be like, "Oh my God, dude, what are you doing?" And I'd be like, "Hey,
so where did you get it? How did you get it?
Wow. Well, for a while,
when there weren't places like Tumbleweed. Yeah, okay.
And then
again,
one time, Mom found a lid in my desk drawer and was just freaked out. Like, oh, my God. I knew my son, but how dare my daughter?
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I kind of cooled off
lid.
For a little bit. Yeah, that's what we called it.
Yeah,
then.
I know. That's
what?
It. Back in the day, it was called a lid.
A lid.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
an ounce was a lid.
It was one of the many, uh-huh. many terms.
Huh.
Which
we learned in etiquette
one
night,
I
think.
One time. I was trying to figure out whether or not he did. And upstairs, I mentioned something about, oh, wow, they left the lid behind. The paint. And he was like, whoa, just about jumped out of her desk to run and go get it. And then he started laughing. New then. Okay. After that, was party in my house.
So how do your parents feel about it now?
Well, I'm sure my dad is smiling down. And before I lost him, he never tried it. He basically said that that was one of the things that he wished to be done, but that he was born in a different time. It really was so stigmatized. I mean, when I was in eighth grade, I saw they showed Reefer Madness in school. Dead is dead. You touch drugs, you're dead. And that was, you know, pretty serious. And he kind of grew up with that, and even without going into it professionally, there's no way he ever could have done it just because of the stigma behind it. But he looked back and I wished I had. My mom did try it. And that was kind of like, she didn't know what the big speak was. She didn't really like it.
Okay.
Generation doesn't like the smell. And I say that because it was very hot.
Well, but now, and the smell's
so strong
now. Like, some of them are just like,
mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
I don't see it. Why are you like that?
Do you want to hear the definition of a lid? For back in the day, a lid, it says a bag of pot, and I do mean pot, seeds, stems, buds, leaves, even a little dirt. That measured at usually 4 fingers deep, equal to about an ounce, which sold for as low as $10 back in the 60s, which costs anywhere from $120 to $320 today.
Even with the seed stems and
lid.
That's a good one.
No, there weren't any buds at all. There
was
no
buds. The definition of being high, they used to say stand tall.
Yeah.
You might see bugs once a year during harvest.
Yeah,
and
they were small.
They were
cute.
Small.
Cute.
You're coming back for?
I get out at like 8.
Okay.
So I try to be at the ball.
Okay, we'll see you then. Oh, bling. See you down the lane. All right. Thank you. Have fun in class. Yeah. We've got some learners coming and going here. Awesome. A lid. That's just so funny. So, any other story? My dad found my stash, as we called it back in the day. I had this little, one of those little pouches or little, like, velveteen magic pouches you get at the little, well, who goes to magic stores, right? I don't know. Anyway, metaphysical shops for all you witches out there. So you get them in these little pouches, and I used to keep it in a little black pouch, and I had this Honda Prelude, and it had all these cool little nooks and crannies in it. And my dad had keys to all of our cars because he changed all the oils and checked all everything. He's a mechanic, right? So I thought I found the right spot. So one day, he was so practical. I love the way he did stuff. He comes out, and he goes, "What's this?" And I said, "Nothing." And he goes, "Okay, be careful." That was it. And that was all I got. I mean, that was my father-daughter talk.
Now, if you had known me back then, I swear I was the scapegoat for every friend whose parent found it. They would say it was mine.
Why? Because of your brothers, probably. See? Your brothers. Bad branding by the brothers. See? They do it every time.
So I can't believe you didn't blame it on somebody else. That's great.
I don't know. I was just busted in the moment, and I don't know. I don't think either. I think maybe one of my brothers tried it once. I don't think the other one ever did. But
did
yeah.
Your parents?
Well, no, they didn't, and I don't think they ever did. But my mom, so I lit a lot of incense too. So it was always, I did have a lot of incense going prior to the cannabis. Yeah, lots of Nag Champa and all that. And then all of a sudden there was this other little wafty smell coming through, and my mom would say, "What's that?" I'd just look at her and like, "It's incense. Hello." Incense.
Jump on the bandwagon.
All flavors. You know, teenager, all irritated. Well, not teenager, more 20, acting like a teenager. But yeah, so that was my dad finding out, and my mom almost. They're watching down now and going, "Damn it, I knew it." You little brat. I knew it. They could have used it though, holy Toledo. My dad had cancer and my mom had all sorts of stuff. They really could use it. Oh, so speaking of, just a segue, did anybody watch Parenthood? What it's called? Mm-hmm. Last night, has anybody watched that show?
I've seen it before.
Seen it.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's a great show. So one of the main characters got cancer. And she's really bad off, going through chemo and everything right now, radiation, and just sick and throwing up all over herself. And they're going through her list of medications because she just can't handle the pain anymore. And she's like, I can't. I've taken all that. It doesn't work. And she's throwing up and sweating and can't sleep and in a ball on the floor. And all of a sudden he leaves and he runs out and he goes to his brother's house. And he goes over, and you probably saw the commercial, and his brother's like, "I'm completely offended. You think I would have pot on any given day?" He's like, "Bingo, I found it!" You know, and he comes out, and he's like, "Okay, it's really strong. Just, you know, give her one hit." So he goes back, and he gives her a joint, and she's just puffing on it. And you can just see, you know, her body just melting away. She's comfortable. She's relaxed. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Oh, my God, I'm great. Oh, I'm going to go to sleep." She's like, "Do you want any?" He's like, no. And he's like, What do you need? She's like, "You just got to get me more weed. You got to get me more of this," because that was the only thing that was helping her in that moment. So I thought that was a big step for America.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was almost like, that's coming out of the can of closet for America. That was a huge show to promote that right then and there. Because the whole, like, for a week you saw that preview. You know, mm-hmm. "I can't believe you think I'd have pot, found it," you know,
yeah.
And then. You don't know where they're going to go with it. They could either have
right.
said,
where,
you know, "Oh, it didn't work. That's dumb anyway." Or, "Hey, this is really helping."
I have
like,
another show that
really
adds
cool.
to it. I actually watched it last night. It was Dexter. His stepdaughter comes back from Atlanta. I don't know if anyone watched this one, but it's, if anyone Dexter fans out there, his stepdaughter comes back from Atlanta, and he's a serial killer, and she doesn't know that, but. Her dad has, you know, stepdad has triggers that he talks about, and how he talked to his daughter when they found out that she smokes pot. And she's 17 or 18, and they didn't make a big deal about it, and they even talked about it, and it showed at the end one of the sisters smoking it with the daughter, just because it was relieving stress, and there was a really stressful episode. So, and they didn't even once talk about it. You know, and this is supposed to be in Florida, so.
Oh,
I mean,
see, they're not even legal.
They're not even legal. So with them kind of placing, I don't know if it's off on there, but they
yeah.
were making a point. But, yeah, you're definitely seeing it on TV more, media more. Shows are talking about it. Episodes are talking about it.
It's
even
all
on,
over the news.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
I mean, it's not just
definitely
on cable channels. It's,
no, it's everywhere.
On the local channels, too, on CBS, NBC.
We've got... one of Belle's besties on the line here, I just noticed. She's been waiting for almost 7 minutes, so we'll see if she's actually going to talk, because this is one of the besties that would push me to the front of the line because she was too embarrassed to say anything, but there might be two besties there, one a little louder than the other, so we'll see if they're there. And let's see. Hello?
Can you hear us?
That sounds like quite
they're
a party.
Happy birthday!
Hey, thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
How many
Happy birthday!
It's Orlando, Florida. Dexter is in Orlando.
Oh,
Okay, so Cindy, we've got a TV expert on the show.
Awesome.
Here, so if anything is misquoted or
there
you know,
we go.
We got it.
Orlando.
What's going on, please?
Nothing. We're just having cocktails because we're not having that other stuff that y'all are talking about.
Even though it's almost legal. Almost.
Almost.
Almost. More legal than here. Well, they at least have dispensaries.
Yeah, but it's not legal. We don't live in Colorado or Washington.
Yeah, it's spreading.
Spreading.
It's
it'll get
spreading.
To us. It'll get to us soon.
What kind of cocktails are y'all having?
Oh, you know, VP, vodka, Pepsi. We're classy in Napa Valley.
Yes, in Napa Valley.
Not a nice red or
like
anything
classy.
Like that, huh?
No, we're having bubbles and Chardonnay tomorrow, but tonight, VPs.
Kim, when are you coming to visit me in Vegas?
What happens in Vegas?
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah, it's only like a few-hour flight, right? Hour? Maybe 45
oh, it's an
minutes?
Hour.
Yeah.
It's hour? An hour and 10 minutes.
Hour?
45 minutes. No, she's in Tucson, though. She's not by Phoenix. Maybe it's longer.
It's only an hour and a half drive from Phoenix to Tucson.
Oh. Anyway, how's the show going? Did you get lots of fun stories?
We still are. You girls have any? You guys have any can of stories of your own?
Tell me a story of the time when I enjoyed it. I was actually with Lisa. We were in Maui, and it was called Maui Wowie. And I laughed and laughed and laughed.
It
was the only time I've ever enjoyed it.
And like the boy named Mike spelled with a Y.
But I had a boyfriend. And so I did nothing with Mike with a Y.
Mike with a Y.
Just to clarify, I'm 1989, in case anyone is listening. Jesus, solid true. Awesome. Maui Wowie, I don't think I've tried that. Anyone here tried Maui Wowie?
No.
Oh, we've had And Giggly? Yeah. We got some head nodders over here. They're quieter than you guys. Good God.
I did. I enjoyed that. Then there was the time in I was also with Lisa. That was about 1990 when we were drinking and David Kelly. Oh, sorry. Lisa for the radio show. That fellow that we went to school with. He put a joint in my mouth and said, you know, do it. Anyway. I got sick, and he had to carry me, running me through a store to try to make it to the bathroom, and I did not.
I was there that night, too. She probably doesn't remember because she threw up. She threw up a lot every time she tried it. That was it.
Yeah, I didn't make it to the bathroom, and I just didn't care for it.
It wasn't for you. That's okay, and that's what you say, you know. It's for some people and not for others. That's all right.
Yes, that was not Maui Wowie. That was 91 that we went to Hawaii. 90? Wow, they're both in 1990-ish. Anyway, yeah, not very exciting stories, but they're stories nonetheless.
Thank you for your stories. Wow, more visitors coming. Holy smokes.
Yay!
Thank you so much for calling. Lysol, what are you doing?
I'm drinking and remembering Arini Coco Coflo.
No. These are old inside jokes.
And thinking we about how much... you are than me?
How much wiser I am? It's wiser. It's called wisdom. Oh. Wisdom streaks. Old. Don't worry. Your time's coming, sister.
Gosh, it's almost, it's more than 6 months older than you are than her. Nice. 7, 8 months?
She's 8 months older.
Dawn Linnell.
Lucky. Hey, I'm not in that same boat. You're only 4 months older than I.
3.
That's right.
Shut up.
February. Just 3 months. That's all. Just 3 months.
Oh, whatever.
Awesome.
Kim, I hope you're having Bellstar, I hope you're having a fantastic day.
Me too, Burley.
Oh, thank you, gals. That was awesome for you to call in. Sorry I made you wait so long. I had to make you wait 7 minutes, though, and 4 seconds.
No, it was kind of fun. You didn't know it was me, did you? I texted you.
I just actually saw it at like 5.5 minutes, and I recognized the phone number that I won't announce on air for everyone to call.
Yes. 867.
Yeah. 867-5309.
All right. All right,
girls.
Thanks. I love you.
I love you too, darling.
Oh, yeah, that's Carson. background.
Come see me in Vegas.
All right.
Yeah. Bye,
my girl. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Awesome. That was awesome.
It was really sweet.
That was. That's what besties are for.
Yeah.
And these girls have I've known since I was 13 and 14 years old. They are my family
mm-hmm.
and my girls. Yeah.
Were they around for your first can story?
They were. I don't know if they were there that exact evening, but they were there for subsequent events that happened with lots of drumsticks and Safeway and all sorts of things. I think I discovered God on aisle four. Yeah. All sorts of things. It was great. It was a really great
mm-hmm.
experience. I know. We've got confused looks out there.
What you're looking for.
Yeah. All right. Cool hair. We've got some colored hair going on. All sorts. Hey, you want to tell a story?
Oh, my first can of story?
First can of story.
All right. Well, I didn't do anything I shouldn't until I was about 19. I waited until I could take responsibility for myself.
Good girl.
Yeah,
right.
I'm responsible that way.
See, I was 20. I think you missed my story. I was almost 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See?
That's awesome. See? Do it older.
Mm-hmm.
Do it wiser.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with my brother and his little family, and he had some friends over. And his friend went out to the car, and she was like, hey, you want to try this? And I thought, well, I did my first party with drinking last weekend. I might as well do something this weekend. So we hotboxed the Jetta, which for a first-timer, one, is not a great idea. And two, that's a very small space. There's a lot of smoke. Like,
wow.
I don't think we even saw our hands most of the time.
Wow.
Excellent.
And I remember falling out of the car.
Oh.
No. Did it hurt?
No, I wasn't hurt at all. I was just very affected,
oh,
I guess you could say.
Yeah, affected.
And then I went inside and ate a pie.
Whole pie?
Yeah, what
kind? Chocolate mousse.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You can't have anything too dry. It's got to be
very moist.
Because
oh, my goodness. Wow.
It's all
uh-huh.
in there. It takes the cotton.
Total, all about the sensations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was
holy Toledo.
Very good stuff.
Glad you were not injured so much that you couldn't eat that pie.
No,
that would have
all.
Been a tragedy.
It was a stumble out of the car more. You know, like when you're dirty drunk, like white girl wasted. It was that kind of
white girl wasted.
That's some good stuff.
White
girl wasted. That was a good first experience for me.
That
cool.
Good.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Chocolate mousse pie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Next.
I can't even remember the first time.
Wow.
What about your favorite time?
What about your last time?
A memorable time. Okay.
Well, my brother smokes on a regular basis, and I also raised a very strict Catholic, didn't really do anything. And I was protected in a bubble for a very long time. So I had that fear, and I believe the stigma that was attached to it and all that. When my best friend was the complete opposite of I, though. She was very independent. Her parents traveled a lot. And so she had five older brothers that were always having a party. And they were the cool people, and she just happened to be my best friend, but I didn't do anything, and they would say, you know, why do you even go out your door, et cetera. But she was the one that initiated. She said, because my brother was very protective, and he knew I was then going in with the wrong crowd, so to speak.
Mm.
So she suggested, she said, if you smoke with your brother, everything's going to be okay. She goes, you'll connect with them if you just do. So through her, that's what she did. She did a threesome with cannabis.
Oh, whoa.
A threesome with cannabis. And we, not physically, we were smoking.
I'm glad you clarified.
Yeah, we're all going places we shouldn't have
gone. Shame on all of you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Listeners are like, woo-hoo.
No.
We got some nice blogging going on now. Yeah. Look at the phones are lighting up. I can't answer all those.
You're not saying that.
It's not her real name. You'll never find her.
But no, that's how
broadcasting from
it,
a different
it was
location.
A good experience. I did have a little paranoia. I remember jumping off a little red rat wagon that was in the yard.
Radio flyer.
Saying, hey, I can fly. So I was very young.
You were flying that night.
Yeah, I was very young. Got locked out of my house.
All right.
But it was a good experience. And I became soulmates with my brother and even closer with my best friend.
Oh,
yeah.
A bonding.
Yeah, it was. It was a very good. But I didn't smoke it again for after I married and had children, I no longer did. I, did it in high school and college. And as I said, but once I had a family, I stayed away from everything except for the good old alcohol. That always helped an adult parent. I let that make up for it. And then I was introduced to the medical cannabis world, which is very helpful because I am Muslim and have a disability. So, it's all good.
And it's helped you now with all that?
Oh, it helps me tremendously. Mm. And I have children that supposedly don't
partake.
In any type of.
Take it.
Yeah. Altered substance at all, except for again alcohol, because that was our example. But they're very supportive. They're very supportive, and they see the change in my abilities, my emotions, my sometimes improved mentality, not always. So yeah, I think I'm very fortunate to be part of the Tumbleweed family and my family at home.
Well, Tumbleweeds is blessed to have you in the family. Not sure what's going on here.
Yes, it works for that muscle, and that works for this toe.
Yeah. I usually know which strain to go to now. It took me a while, though. I mean, it's taken a year.
It is.
It's taken a year to figure out, A, the different types of strains there are, the three main, but then there's so many strains out there and hybrids and, what works best for what. Back in the day when we were getting our lids, we didn't know what it was.
Right.
I mean, it was just swag. Yeah. It's just dirt. And it was just tons of stuff. I mean, really.
I
just
a lot of stems.
Yeah, a lot of stems.
Did you make a lot of hash?
And they were more like branches, almost.
Yeah, almost branch-like.
I mean,
they were
hard,
like
too.
Like juniper, almost.
Breaking it across, because I do remember going, can we smoke this, too?
Now we probably could have made tea out of it all, now that we think about it, but
those things were huge. The twigs were big.
They were big. It wasn't like the little, they were like, anyway.
I came pretty much straight to medical, so I've never really had ditchweed.
Oh man,
like,
I have, for a couple weeks beforehand,
but other than that, I've always been on good stuff.
Well, I say that the stuff that my friends had when I first started was not ditch.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. So we have two conversations.
Oh yeah, lots of them. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay.
Really picking up, but
yeah.
So you're a non-ditchweed user. You came right to medicine.
Well, yeah, I came from California and then here, and we spent a little bit on like weed or mesh weed, whatever they call it. Not very good stuff. It's like old. It's really old stuff. They're bottom of the barrel, and then straight over to medical,
totally,
so I feel spoiled and young right now.
You guys live. I think you're right about both. Spoiled and young.
Isn't that a great feeling?
It is a great feeling.
That moment.
There was a place like Tumbleweed.
Back in the day.
Holy Toledo. We were like, I don't even want to say, we were walking the streets of Berkeley and I'd leave a couple friends on one side of the road and I'd say, watch me. I go, of course, I'd be the one. I'll go across and find the guy who's got a lid. give him the $20, that we all pitched in for. And there you go. And we had our pot. We were smoking in the parking lot and flipping around Telegraph Avenue going, woo, hitting record stores and Blondie Pizza and
That's great.
Well, that just shows,
like a really good time.
It was really fucking fun.
Just shows the stigma is going away, but it's taken a long time and we need to keep
And
on.
You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with recreational use.
No.
What's wrong with a little happy is what I always say, seriously.
And I think it
this world can use it.
It
Holy
opens
Toledo.
Up. It opens people's minds up.
Oh, totally.
You know?
It's a mind opener.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anybody that how it interferes with depression? You know,
I mean, interferes as in helps or the question is, does it help with depression or have you had people come in? Yeah. I think we probably had both, but majority of what people come in and they say, they'll even tell us. What we say to them is each strain is different. So it might be uplifting for you, but it could be relaxing for someone else. And we've had people come in and say, I like such and such a strain because it helps with my depression. And some people, you know.
I noticed with the sativas, anytime we did, whenever Tumbleweeds had their medication up there and it was some sativas, then when we did the research on the sativa, that there was a lot more, it would say, always say antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And with the high forms of the sativa, and it always in the like feelings and what you would get from it, the medical capabilities of what it could be, would always say antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think they're all forms of that because it all works with endocannabinoid systems.
Sure.
So
just different for everybody.
It just would be different for everybody, but I think you're still getting the same qualities from everything. Whether it is
there
a
the
sleepy,
same molecules in
right.
everything. I think that's what it's like. Mm-hmm. There's CBD, CBN, THCs,
right.
all those are in it.
And some people need different levels of that to make it work.
Yeah, and different levels will affect your mood
mm-hmm.
and your physical
right.
abilities. And,
that's why it's important to know what ones, what strains you're taking, which ones work for you.
Exactly.
Journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very, very much encourage journaling, especially when you find something that does work for you. You know,
yeah.
you want to make sure that you're able to get that or grow it for yourself. Get it or grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Get it or grow it.
Get it or grow it. Any other, get it legally.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Centuries coming. Any other stories?
There's actually
Oh, you saw online?
Yeah.
Yep. There, Phoenix had one approved, and Tucson has one approved, and one in the wing. Neither of them are opening yet. I'm not sure why. You know, they probably have. They're probably just waiting to get final touches on everything before they open up. I'm sure
yeah.
that they've got the go ahead though. One in Broadway and Cold.
Mm-hmm.
That one, and then there's another one. I'm not sure. The one in Phoenix is Organics. I think is what it's called. Organics in Phoenix. Anybody else want to share a story? No more takers? Any shares? Any shares?
No.
No? Okay.
We can.
We can read. Actually. Yeah, we need our hemp. Where
it's right
where
here.
Is that? Yeah, but where's the 1974?
Oh. Did we have any people that turned in and answered our question from last week?
No. Our trivia question?
Our trivia question?
No.
Where did the word marijuana, what state, country?
What country? What country came up with the word
Mexico?
Bing, bing, bing.
Bing, bing, bing. She
All right.
It.
Oh. Okay, here we go. What? And this is for a pre-roll. You have to come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. You have to be a card carrying, a green card carrying, AMMA card holder. What actor narrated the marijuana documentary Grass? Any guesses out there? Grass.
Hmm.
Who narrated that movie?
That's
what actor? Movie. Who?
Morgan Freeman. I love his voice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No? I can't tell you. Well, I can tell you.
When
I'll show you. Look, see? Anyone?
Whoa. Okay.
I know.
You know what? No.
That'd be Woody, right?
Good guess.
Ooh.
Good guess.
Uh-huh. Bill Murray.
Another good guess. I can see him. All right. I think we're going to wait. I'm going to read through my 1974 edition of High Times before we actually read it on air. I'm going to look at that myself
okay.
first.
we're going to read Hempathy because we all love that. And I think the kid has it.
I
do. Where are we on? Where are we?
We are not such a good place, though. This is why. Environmentally devastating fossil fuels.
Figures would be environmental.
Yeah.
For Belle's birthday. Why don't you tell our readers out there what Hempathy is?
Well, Hempathy is our food for thought. This was actually found, thanks to Tumbleweeds having this amazing little library over here, pulled off the shelf one day.
Ripped right off that shelf.
And it's nice little quotes and...
It's a book.
A book. Food for thought.
In case you didn't know out there, it's a book.
It's a book.
Why-whynot.net, right?
Hempathy, food for thought, is an attempt to show a glance of the logical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, why, and what is forbidden, why not. Science and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in unbiased ways to widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and criminalization of a useful plant like cannabis. This information is meant to be shared.
Amen.
Check them out.
Yeah, totally check it out. But we're going to describe cool pictures. One's probably not so cool. You want me to do it? You want me to take over?
Do you want
to
be?
Kind of ugly. Anyone want to describe the ugly? Oh, I remember this one.
This one, yeah.
This looks like the Gulf or whatever when the oil spilt in the water. There you go. How's that? It says why. Environmentally devastating fossil fuels. This guy's in like a hazmat suit. The birds are all covered with oil. The animals are all dying and sad and needing help. And there's a wrecked ship, of course, you know, and they're trying to clean it up, but it's just a mess. And there's just a dark, gross city in the background. And it says, the production and use of petroleum comes at a terrible cost to the planet. Crude oil spills poison plants and animals. The burning of petroleum releases toxic gases that pollute the air, cause cancer, and contribute to global climate change. During the last decade, more than 1 billion gallons of crude oil has spilled into the ocean worldwide. More than 4.9 barrels of oil, 205.8 million gallons of oil have spilled into the Gulf of Mexico.
Whoa.
Everyone hear that? 205.8 million gallons of oil has spilled into the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow.
BP has projected its total legal and cleanup cost at roughly $43 billion, including $20 billion toward the Gulf Coast claims for family victims. BP's first quarter profits for 2010 were approximately $61 million a day. They profited $61 million a day.
Yes.
And dumped 205.8 million gallons of oil in the ocean. Nice. Not nice.
Not nice at all.
All right. Now let's talk about the prettiness. Come on. Bring it on, kid. Bring on the pretty. We need
The prettiness. Over here on the why not side. Renewable energy resources. Biofuels such as biodiesels and alcohol fuel can be made from the oils of hemp seeds and stock. And the fermentation of the plant as a whole, biodiesel product from hemp is sometimes known as hemp oil. Hemp biodiesel is clean burning and non-toxic. Hemp is the least 4 times richer in biomass cellulose potential than its nearest rivals, corn stalks, sugarcane trees. Enough energy could be produced on 6% of the land in the U.S. to provide enough energy for an entire country. Cars heat homes, electricity, industry, and we use 25% of the world's energy instead. Of what we're doing now.
Oh my goodness.
And it's a nice little
it's a beautiful
little place.
Bright green, blue sky.
And there you can tell there's
little hemp fields out
little
there.
Hemp field.
Hemp farms.
Little guy in his little tiny car.
Hemp oil car.
100% hemp.
probably made of hemp plastic.
Good to eat.
Wearing hemp oil.
Hemp oil. Instead of Shell Station, it's the medical cannabis.
Yeah, symbol.
Plant.
That's great.
Plant.
Awesome.
It says smell.
Oh.
Instead of Shell.
Nice. Everybody should get a copy of this book. It's awesome.
Even the birds are happy and they're eating it.
Very factual. Mm-hmm. Every page has facts on it. You can check out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Great, beautiful book.
Well, bounce star.
Well, Cannabis Kid.
Happy birthday again.
Oh, my goodness. That was a really fun show. And let's see here. We have a little music to head us out with. Let's see. Ah, Belle's favorite. Oh, no. Oh, we went to the next song. We went live. Uh-oh. What happened to that one? Well, we're going live. We're taking Belle out live.
I don't even know this song.
Edge of 17, Stevie Nicks. It's like the white winged dove. Belle will fly, and you can catch. Belle Star and the Cannabis Kid. Weed Day Wednesday. Check
Thank
out.
Thank you, Tumbleweed.
TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com.
For lots of stuff to sell.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff for sale.
Lots of stuff. Just listen to Stevie. Thanks, everybody. Weed Day Wednesday. Signing out. Woo-hoo!
Thank you.